the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you today from Chicago under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our drama today, Old Man Stone, was written by David Davidson.
Old Man Stone, they called him. The many thousands of children who got to know him during a quarter century in the slums of Detroit. Lewis Stone, corner druggist, amiable and chatty like all the brothers of his profession, but given especially to a charming habit of saying as each Halloween, Thanksgiving, or any holiday at all rolled around,
"Come on, kids, let's throw a party."
How about Johnny, Joe, and Freddy?
Sure, you can bring your three brothers, Mickey.
Bring anybody you want.
Sometimes his guests numbered up to 10,000, and he had to borrow money to pay. Brass bands and ice cream, clowns and candy. They were an obsession with him, the parties. Why did he do it?
Well, it makes the kids feel that people care about them. And a happy child, you know, is a good child.
As casual as that. But a few years ago, in an official resolution, the Michigan State Legislature declared,
"Lewis Stone has done more than any other person to combat and reduce juvenile delinquency in the city of Detroit."
But last January, in his little flat over his drugstore, Lewis Stone died. Again, there was the gathering of his kids, again by the thousands. Meeting at Angel High School, they dedicated a plaque to him as Detroit Citizen of the Year. It was the first party of his kids that he had missed in 25 years, a quarter century of kindness. It was his answer to a certain great unkindness that had wounded him deeply during his own boyhood. It was back in his native Russia that it had happened to him, in his 16th year. Applying one day to the judge of the local court for a copy of his birth certificate.
Yes? What is the year of your birth?
Why, 1894, Your Honor.
Occupation?
I'm a student.
Your father?
He owns a little shoemaking shop, Your Honor, but he works very hard...
Religion?
Jewish.
And for what purpose do you seek a copy of your birth certificate?
Well, Your Honor, I'm applying for admission to medical school, and they said my papers had to be accompanied by a birth certificate.
That is all.
Oh, please, sir. How soon can I have the certificate?
When it is ready.
Oh, please, sir. It's all I need to send in my application, and I want so much to be a doctor.
These things take time.
Next week? Next month?
Well, perhaps in 2 or 3 years.
2 or 3 years? But all you have to do is send a man to the files and have him copy out...
This court has before it more important matters than the birth certificate of... Young man, step aside.
Your Honor, please listen. As long as I can remember, I've wanted to study medicine. Now that I have the chance, please don't take it away.
Bailiff.
Yes, Your Honor.
This person is disturbing the court. Have him removed.
The heartsick boy was on his way to America, there to take the first work that offered itself in a New England can factory.
Stone, stop that machine for a second.
Am I doing something wrong, Mr. Feeney?
Wrong? Nobody in this factory ever did it so right, Stone. Always figuring out shortcuts, ways to save labor. Don't be surprised if you find a little something more in your pay envelope this week.
Thank you, Mr. Feeney.
But I keep asking myself, now why should anybody with a head like yours want to keep on cutting out tin cans all his life? You ought to go to night school, Stone, and get yourself an education.
Someday, when I've saved up the money.
Money? Why, high school's free in this country. Didn't you know that?
Free?
You get back to that machine now, Stone, and in 5 minutes, I'll find out just where you go and who you see.
Mr. Feeney,
Well, say, boy,
Why the sniffles? You're so kind, Mr. Feeney.
That makes you cry?
Well, just like Columbus must have cried when he first saw America. To me, Mr. Feeney, kindness is a very new thing.
Your name, please?
Lewis Stone.
It's rather late in the term, Lewis, to be entering this class.
Excuse me for violating the rules. I want so much to get an education, but I only found out today.
No matter. You're welcome at any time.
Thank you, Miss...
Miss Martin, one moment before you take your seat. Pencils? Paper? We'll see later about your textbooks.
Oh, so stupid of me. I don't think I brought enough money, Miss Martin.
But they're free, Lewis, provided by the city.
Miss Martin?
Yes?
Isn't there anything I can give you?
Me?
This country... This people. Isn't there anything?
Well, just what I think you're giving already, Lewis. Your love.
By 1917, having salvaged more of his dream than he had ever hoped, Lewis Stone was working his way through pharmacy school, a diligent young man with thick-lensed glasses. But with America drawn into World War I, his mind turned at once from his studies.
All right, Stone, I'll read that third line down on the chart.
A, and next to it, G, and then F.
Sorry, Stone. Your eyes are just not good enough for the Army.
And the Navy says the same.
So, why not go back to pharmacy school and forget the whole thing?
Forget it? A whole world war? What other people are giving their lives for this country?
Well, why don't you try the Merchant Marine, maybe? There they don't have to be so particular about good eyes.
Merchant Marine. That's not fighting.
They do plenty to help, you know, getting the troops and the supplies to Europe. And being chased by submarines isn't exactly a picnic.
Okay, then, Doctor. Merchant Marine.
A few years later, he was opening his own pharmacy on Mount Elliott Street in Detroit and receiving a very pessimistic caller.
Yes, officer? Anything I can do for you?
Moody's my name. Since this is my regular bleed, I thought I'd drop in and say hello.
Welcome, Officer Moody.
I wish I could say the same to you.
Oh?
What I'm meaning to say, why would a fella in his right mind ever want to open up a nice new store in a neighborhood like this?
Why not?
One of the roughest, toughest in all Detroit. Kids running in all the time to thieve, knocking bricks at you the second you backstern.
Personally, I thought the kids were very nice. Lively, but it's very nice.
Well, then, how come they soaped up your brand-new window so nobody can see into it for the life of him?
Halloween night. Why shouldn't they have their fun? Oh, excuse me, officer. I was expecting an important call. Hello? So good to hear your voice. I was waiting all day, hoping you would finally make up your mind. Oh. Well, the best man won, I guess. I wish you two every happiness in the world. Good night.
Mr. Stone.
Yes, Officer Moody?
It sounds to me like somebody just got turned down.
She was such a nice girl.
You're a big man, Mr. Stone, to say that about the girl who just jilted you.
But it's the truth. How can I deny it?
Well, better luck next time, Mr. Stone. And if ever you have any trouble with the young hoodlums in this neighborhood, I want you to... Glory be.
Sounds like somebody was run over.
Well, let's go see.
There, somebody's picking him up now.
Why, it's a young kid.
Poor little devil. All dressed up in an Indian suit. All dressed up for Halloween.
Hello? Hello, Sergeant. This is Officer Moody reporting. There was a 10-year-old kid run over just now by a car at Mount Elliott near Warren. Oh, he had a Halloween mask on. Slipped over his face while he was running the street. No, it's
too late for an ambulance. What's that, Sergeant? What a night for kids. Goodbye. You know what, Mr. Stone?
Yes, Officer Moody?
Sergeant says it was the third like that tonight, just in this part of town.
The third? Three kids, each one leaving his house tonight for a little fun. And then...
Yeah, well, they won't stay off the street.
Then somebody's got to keep them off the streets.
Oh, yeah. Somebody.
You, I, all of us. We've got to give those kids something better than the streets.
Exactly a year later, as again the Festival of the Goblins came around...
Well, Mr. Stone, if you've got nothing more for me to do tonight, guess I'll knock off.
Hello, Sam. A handyman works hard, and I know you're tired, but if you don't mind giving me a hand with these counters before you go.
Counters, Mr. Stone?
I want to push them all back against the wall.
Oh.
Let's start with this one.
All right.
Well, I'm already on this end.
Yeah, that's it.
All right.
And now back. As far as it'll go.
All right.
What's that?
There. Yeah.
Old
man Stone.
Old
man Stone.
Hello. Aren't you Johnny Fitch?
Tell you. Go climb a tree, old man Stone.
Well, don't stand there in the doorway. Come in, Johnny. Make yourself at home.
Okay. Maybe I will.
The back one, Mr. Stone. Look the way he's edging over to that bowl of lollipops. Starting to sneak out his
hand. Okay, Mr. Stone. I got him.
Let go, you cop. Let go of me.
Caught in the act trying to grab those lollipops, weren't you? And why shouldn't he, Sergeant Moody?
Huh?
They're there for the kids to help themselves. And those cookies, too. And those cups of ice cream.
What's he talking about?
Johnny, I'm giving a party tonight. A Halloween party for all the kids in the block.
Bringing those hoodlums in here, Mr. Stone? They'll wreck your store. They'll rob you blind.
Let's see if they will. Johnny, will you go out and tell every kid on the block to come here right away as my guest?
You mean that?
I don't want to ever see another one of you fall under a car. Go on, Johnny. Get them.
Okay. Hey, Tommy, all you guys. Yeah, old man Stone is giving away candy and ice cream. Old man Stone is going crazy. What? Oh, he
Mr. Stone, you don't know what you did tonight for the mothers on this block.
Forget it, Mrs. Fitch.
Bringing nearly 60 of our youngsters into your store and entertaining them for 2 hours and keeping them from harm.
Well, I'm glad of that, Mrs. Fitch.
But couldn't we chip in a little on what it cost you?
Oh, no, no. It's still a lot cheaper than what last Halloween cost.
Mr. Stone, I never would have believed it.
Believe what, Sergeant Moody?
Not one thing stolen, not one thing broken in your whole store.
Well, Sergeant, it just goes to prove an old belief of mine that a happy child is a good child.
Maybe you're right at that.
Come here, let's give a real party. We rope off the whole block, if you can fix that.
Oh, sure, sure.
We get a band from the Musicians Union, maybe. There's some singers from the radio stations, and... But why do we have to wait a whole year?
Huh?
I heard some of these kids say tonight they'd never see the circus. And in just a couple of weeks, the circus is coming to town.
But Mr. Stone...
Oh, when it does, Sergeant Moody, let's throw a party.
So it went from then on, year after year, a party on every occasion that offered itself, and occasions invented when they didn't exist. Often he stripped his cash register of the last dollar to pay for them. Old Man Stone. When he moved his drugstore to the corner of 3rd and Stimson, the old custom went along with him. And in the course of the years...
Oh, good morning, Lieutenant Moody.
Good morning, Lou. I have a piece of news that might interest you.
Oh?
Well, over at our station house, the Crime Prevention Bureau has been digging up the figures on juvenile delinquency for this party.
Oh?
The score is that ever since you started giving those parties, Lou, that the figures have gone down to the lowest on record for this neighborhood.
That's good to hear, Lieutenant.
You can pin all the medals for that on yourself, Lou. And like one of the social workers said, what a father you would have made.
Yes. Didn't turn out that way.
Oh, I know, Lou. I was here that day when the little lady gave you the bad news over the phone. Oh, you must have loved her a lot. Never to try again. Forget it.
Well, this way, it turned out you're the father of 10,000 kids. And maybe just 4 or 5.
And I've enjoyed every minute of it, Lieutenant. The only trouble, now that this country is in a war again...
Yes?
I don't see that I got any right to ask exemption on the grounds of dependency.
Exemption? Now, Lou, whatever gives you the idea that a big, overweight man of 50 like yourself is supposed to go off and fight a war?
He can try, can't he?
Next, please. On the double.
Yes, sir. I'm next.
And what can we do for you?
This is where I sign up for the Merchant Marine, isn't it?
You?
For me.
Say, aren't you old man Stone?
That's right.
I must have gone to a dozen of your parties as a kid. Golly, when I think of all those good
Please
times...
Please get down to business. I want to join the Merchant Marine.
Well, Pop, even in the Merchant Marine, a fellow has to meet certain physical requirements, so... If you want to help win the war...
Yes, I do.
Well, just go home and keep buying bonds. Next...
1 second, young fellow.
Pop, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings.
You think you're rid of me just like that? Well, I warn you, young fellow, you're not... Oh, Mrs. Pickett.
Yes, Mr. Stone?
Put down that prescription for a second and listen to me.
Okay, Mr. Stone. What's the trouble?
Look, Mrs. Pickett, it's a couple of months already since I took you on here as my assistant.
Yes, just about, Mr. Stone.
Well, in that time, you've learned the ropes so well, I think maybe I can take off a little time to do something very important, Mrs. Pickett.
Oh? You're thinking of going away somewhere?
To the hospital, Mrs. Pickett.
Hospital?
Well, there seems to be something wrong with me lately. I've lost so much weight the last few months.
Yes, you have, Mr. Stone. But you never looked better.
You think so, Mrs. Pickett?
Mr. Stone, I never saw anybody look less sick than you do right now. What's up? On the level, Mr. Stone. What's cooking here?
All right. But promise me first you'll keep this a secret, that you won't tell anybody.
Stone, Mrs. Pickett.
More than a month now since he's been around the store, Miss Pickett.
Well, children, he hasn't been feeling well.
Sick? Hey, let's go right upstairs and see him.
Well, as a matter of fact, he isn't there.
Went away to a hospital?
Which one?
I can't tell you that.
Oh, come on, Mrs. Pickett.
We'll bring him candy and flowers. Throw him a party for a change. Come on, tell us what hospital.
We ain't moving out of here till you say.
And yes, go, Mrs. Pickett. We have a right to know.
What's all the commotion, kids? What's going on here?
Well, old man Stone is in the hospital.
Oh, shit.
And Mrs. Pickett won't tell us which one.
You're a cop, Captain Moody. Why don't you get on the phone and find out?
Then we can all go down together and see him.
All right. That's just what I'll do. You hear that, Mrs. Pickett?
Oh, please, he didn't want anybody to know.
Well, just the same, I'll count three. And if you don't tell us by the time I'm finished, Mrs. Pickett, one, two...
All right, I confess.
Let's have it now, Mrs. Pickett.
A month ago, he got the Merchant Marine to take him as a purser pharmacist.
Yes,
after he dropped 70 pounds. But they only took him on probation. And he was so afraid they'd send him back and he'd be embarrassed. So he didn't want anybody to know.
That
old man Stone.
Merchant Marine kept him all right for a full 19 months. And after the war, he was back again at 3rd and Stinson, there to receive a rather mysterious visit one day from two of his young friends.
Mr. Stone, will you listen, please?
This is very important.
1 second, Timmy. Mickey, just as soon as I finish this prescription. All right, gentlemen.
What's on your mind?
Well, Mr. Stone, a whole bunch of us was talking one day, and I says, it's got to be. He wouldn't be the only one in the world that got left out.
And I says, but every time we ask Mr. Stone, he tells us he never had one.
Or else he says, so long ago, I can't remember.
What are you two talking about?
So then we decide that maybe we'll go ask Captain Moody. After all, he's a cop. He's got ways of finding out things. So he makes a hunt, all right, in the office where they give out licenses to druggists in this state.
Jimmy, Mickey.
No use, Mr. Stone. We nailed you. And now we know what day is your birthday. Today, Mr. Stone.
You little devil.
Open the door, Mr. Stone. Go on over there and open it. Have a look outside.
I don't know if I'm going to like this.
Well, why open it?
Such a crowd of people out there. They couldn't little ones. Even a brass band. But I never had a birthday party in my life.
Well, it's about time, ain't it? That somebody threw you a party for a change?
There followed honors for Lewis Stone from the Detroit Common Council, the state legislature, various professional societies. Men high in public life wrote to thank him for the happy start he had given them. But then, one night last January, his handyman dialed frantically at the phone.
Hello? Hello, police department? Want an ambulance right away. Old man Stone just had a heart attack.
Come in here in the middle of the night.
Oh, now, you take it easy, Lou. You know, the doctor wants you to rest.
What did he say about me?
Oh, he says you'll be all right.
I don't think so.
Now, Lou.
No strength left in my bones. What worries me most...
Yes?
I know how awful a kid feels to be disappointed. Yes, it happened once to me when I tried to be a doctor. I never forgot it.
Well, now, that was a long, long time ago, Lou.
What's bothering me is what'll happen next month.
Next month?
I said I'd take a lot of kids to the circus. 3,000 of them.
Oh, I see.
Well, promise me something. That if I'm not around... somebody will take the kids. Please, promise me they won't be disappointed.
They won't be, Lou.
It was the last wish of Lewis Stone, and it was carried out. It is told in the Talmud that a rabbi once asked to be enlightened as to what manner of man was sure to enter into the life of the world to come. The prophet Elijah pointed two such men out to him. The rabbi asked these men by what noble deeds they had earned such distinction. They replied, "We are merrymakers. When we see people troubled in mind, we relieve their distress by cheer. And when we see people quarreling, we make peace between them." If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address and 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Leon Silvertrust, Chicago attorney and former president of the Chicago Council of the United Synagogue of America.
The central character in today's drama, Lewis Stone, lived and died a bachelor. Yet, he was a godparent of a generation of Detroit's children. It is written in the Talmud, he who teaches a child is considered as if he were its father. It is in this tradition that Stone can be considered the father of the countless youngsters who were lifted up by his spirit and molded by his saintliness. Lewis Stone lived a life of infinite faith, faith in the essential goodness of all human beings. He did not deny the evil which existed around him, but acted rather on the principle that good will drive out evil. He did not allow himself to be deflected from the principle of action by the superficially negative aspect of society. Lewis Stone succeeded as a human being because he was what he believed all men must be. Only those who lead a life of goodness understand the potency of good as an active weapon against evil. So Stone changed the character of the youth of his community because he approached them as people worthy of the respect and trust and not as potential criminals. Though many of them were considered hoodlums by organized society, they were not forced into this mold by Stone. He did not content himself with being a critic of the delinquency about him, but helped provide the opportunities to channel youthful energies and other creative drives into socially acceptable patterns. Just as Stone participated in spiritual creation, so we may all play an equally significant role in the formation of a better world. We will be effective to the degree that we recognize the potential goodness inherent in man and find our proper place in the construction of a cooperative society. Ours is the choice of being either the policeman accepting as a norm the aberrations of society, or the friend approaching the world with a confidence in the individual's power to unshackle potential outcasts of society. Only as we practice our faith in mankind can we strengthen ourselves, and with this increase in personal fortitude, act as the builders of a fitting sanctuary for the spirit of man.
Thank you, Mr. Silvertrust. Our eternal life drama today, Old Man Stone, was written by David Davidson and is presented as part of the National Observance of Brotherhood Week. Lester was featured as Lewis Stone, the man.
Music was by Laurie Scott Baker. Cordova is directed in Wales.